That changed quickly, of course, as calls were made. The first to Hoover's constant companion and second-in-command at the FBI, Clyde Tolson. Tolson had to know first, for he, above anyone, would understand the implications. Since 1931, it was Tolson who had assisted the boss as his chief cheerleader, administrator, organizer, and best friend. Too good of a friend, some said, as rumors of a homosexual relationship between the two men refused to die despite repeated denials. Tolson himself had been in ill health for several years, with a serious heart condition and advanced high blood pressure. He also had suffered several strokes that left him partially paralyzed. Even as Crawford made the call, he wondered if word of Hoover's death might finish the job and kill Tolson as well. Yet, when the associate director of the FBI answered the telephone and heard the news, his reaction was not one of hysteria or grief, but rather stoic silence, which Crawford attributed to shock. The methodical Tolson called upon his FBI training one last time and immediately reported the director's death to Hoover's titular boss, Acting Attorney General Richard Kleindienst, 48 years old and only 3 months into the job. Placing the telephone receiver back on its hook, Tolson moved more out of habit than grief. As he had for the past 41 years, he crossed the room, exited his apartment, and rode the elevator to the building's lobby to await Hoover's limousine. Each morning, the pair normally rode the short distance to the Justice Department together. Each evening, met again for dinner. The previous evening, Hoover had cut short a photo session with a retiring agent to return with Tolson to his apartment, worried about the toll his assistant's schedule had been taking on his health. Together, they dined on Omaha steaks, baked potatoes, baby peas, with vanilla ice cream for dessert, all of Hoover's favorite. A perfect final meal, Tolson thought, as he watched Moulton drive up in the familiar armored Cadillac. Washington, D.C. survives on its ability to spread news through a network as infinite as it is structured. Even as Moulton was helping Tolson into the back seat of the black limousine, word began to spread systematically about the death of a man many considered to be indestructible. As each person received the shocking news, the groundswell grew in direct proportion to the importance of the man. Annie Fields telephoned the boss's longtime executive assistant, Helen Gandy, catching the elderly woman just as she arrived at her office. It was Gandy's first call of the day, recorded simply enough on the FBI log at 8:40 a.m. The entry listed simply, Annie, with no indication of the tragic news she delivered.